Hello, this is Mary, and I'll be reading selections from the Decatur Herald and Review from Monday, July 27th, 2026. From the front page of the story, protest, no data centers. Group encourages attendance at July 29th informational meeting by Valerie Wells. Decatur. Soy City Indivisible held a demonstration on Sunday to protest data centers and to encourage people to attend an event this week where that will be the topic. We are out here promoting an event on Wednesday at the Decatur Public Library that we are hosting, and it's called Let's Talk Data Centers, said Stephanie Brown, who is on the steering committee of the group. We are bringing in Prairie Rivers Network, the Illinois People's Action, and the Citizens Utility Board, and they are going to present a general overview of what an AI data center, what is an AI data center, what are some of the issues that we need to think about and evaluate. Then specifically, we're going to talk about what's happening in Decatur with ADM and Broadwing and Google. Soy City Indivisible will host a meeting 6 to 7:30 p.m. Wednesday, July 29th, in the Madden Auditorium at Decatur Public Library to discuss data centers and their impact on the electrical grid and water resources. The event is free and open to the public, though registration is encouraged. The event will also be live-streamed on Soy City Indivisible's Facebook page and YouTube channel. At this point, there are no applications to build a data center in Macon County. The Macon County Zoning Board of Appeals has recommended to the Macon County Board that a 12-month moratorium on such applications should be enacted, and the County Board has appointed a group to study the pros and cons and make a recommendation at the board's August meeting. She said she believes the committee does not represent the public and is not transparent. Soy City Indivisible has not been able to find out what things the group is considering as they make that study, she said. It's not a citizens' volunteer committee, she said. Nobody was asked to volunteer. Manly Mallard, holding a sign that said No Data Center on one side and Save Lake Decatur on the other, said he cares about the well-being of his community, and a data center would bring pressure on the electrical grid and water supply, as well as noise and air pollution. The noise from a data center is extraordinarily loud, he said. I think a lot of people who actually pay attention are in agreement with us. This is happening all over the country. Protests against data centers, town councils and board meetings. Board members are signing non-disclosure agreements and letting these corporations come in and do whatever they want. More artificial intelligence is not a goal he shares, Mallard said, and he doesn't understand why there is apparently a race to increase the use of it. Another problem, said protester Patricia Burns, is if the company decides to close or abandon a data center down the road, how does the community get the land back and make a different use of it? I think it's just a competition, she said. All these people want to have the biggest data center. Soy City Indivisible Steering Committee member Adam Herman said most of the presenters on Wednesday will have the same position, that a data center in Macon County is not wanted by the community. They come at it from different angles, he said. One of them is the Citizens Utility Board, so they'll be looking at it from the energy standpoint. Illinois People's Action will be looking at the national resources issue and how that all ties in to the Broadwing Energy Plant. Broadwing would not be a data center, but would provide power for one, he said. Archer Daniel Midland Company plans to purchase a portion of the power generated, but most of it would be sold to Google for AI. The natural gas-powered plant would be located on Brush College Road near ADM and would capture more than 90% of the carbon dioxide generated by ADM, permanently storing it on site using ADM's capture and storage technology. Construction is set to begin this year, with steam and power generation operational by 2029 and carbon capture operational by 2030. Soy City Indivisible usually focuses on political issues, Herman said, but the steering committee felt that educating the public on data centers was an important enough issue at the moment to get involved. They will return their focus to politics in time for the November election. Also from the front page of the paper, health. Experts base drug checks on science. FDA plans to hire thousands of workers after 2025 job cuts, by Dina Beasley, Reuters. Biotech experts and industry executives called plans by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, hit by job cuts last year, to hire thousands of employees and update clinical trial standards encouraging, but want assurance that politics will not interfere in the agency's drug review process. Regulatory predictability is ultimately what keeps promising science from being abandoned before it reaches patients, said John Guy, policy director at the Incubate Coalition, a venture capital advocacy group. The agency's current priority should be rebuilding durable scientific expertise. Under Robert F. Kennedy Jr., President Donald Trump's health secretary, the FDA lost more than 3,000 employees, including key division heads, through cuts and departures. John Crowley, CEO of the BIO Industry Trade Group, described the cuts as the Doge wrecking ball, referring to the Trump administration's Department of Government Efficiency, which initially was spearheaded by billionaire Elon Musk. Crowley added that the FDA needs to do more to standardize review processes. Longtime FDA Cancer Division head Richard Pazdur and other former agency officials in recent months called the regulator too political, with key decisions on drugs and vaccines being made by then-Commissioner Marty Makary or his department heads. Makary resigned in May amid mounting criticism, and Biologics Division Chief Vinay Prasad departed in April amid controversy over vaccine trial revisions and rare disease drug rejections. The FDA's main drug review arm has had six different leaders since January 2025, when Trump began his second term as president and is now led by a temporary director. Since early June, the FDA announced plans to fill 2,200 open positions, shorten clinical trial timelines, and speed developments of gene and cell therapies. Some policy changes are driven by global competition, including from China, which outstripped the United States in clinical trial volume. The one thing the FDA is very focused on is cell therapy, said Paul Hastings, CEO of South San Francisco, California-based biotech company Nkarta. We are in the lead, and we want to keep that lead. The FDA, long viewed as the global gold standard for assessing drug safety and effectiveness, so far was able to maintain its pace of drug approvals, but investors are watching closely, Guy said. The administration appears to be focused on three candidates for Trump to nominate as FDA commissioner and is waiting his final decision, according to two sources familiar with the process. They are White House domestic policy aide Heidi Overton, oncologist Jeffrey Vasirka, and Pentagon health official Stephen Ferreira. The White House did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The exits of Makary and Prasad are an opportunity to consider FDA leadership needs and where the boundary lies between political power and scientific judgment. Scott Gottlieb, a former FDA commissioner, wrote in an editorial last month in the medical journal JAMA. Gottlieb called for reinstating the overarching standard that FDA medical product centers be led by experienced scientific and clinical experts. Emily Hilliard, a Department of Health and Human Services spokesperson, said in an email that suggesting that the agency's regulatory actions reflect politics rather than science misrepresents the FDA review process and the hard work of its dedicated career scientists, physicians, and other experts. Trump administration political appointees' decision at the FDA include Prasad's refusal to review Moderna's flu vaccine. Kennedy, long known for anti-vaccine views, criticized Moderna vaccines, cutting their U.S. government research funding. Prasad later reversed course and accepted the application after Moderna, according to media reports, took the issue directly to the White House. Other incidents, such as Macquarie's public criticism of an application for a Huntington's disease treatment, believed to be a gene therapy from Netherlands headquartered Unicure, fueled the idea that drug makers and patients were being treated unfairly. We can get better by innovating not just in technology, but in how we evaluate, how we standardize criteria for FDA review, said Paul Watton of RBL Ventures, a Houston-based biotech venture creation studio. Upheaval at the agency did not affect Emeryville, California-based cell therapy developer Kyverna, said CEO Warren Biddle, although it did call into question a pathway forward for some of these therapies. Elizabeth Youngman, global regulatory attorney at law firm Hogan Lovells Cadwallader and former chief of staff to the FDA commissioner, said the traditional barrier between FDA leadership and drug reviews was perforated, and it remains to be seen whether the role of the FDA scientific staff will be fully restored. It's entirely possible that we are in the eye of the storm right now, she said. Turning to page 3, Cops, Gunmen Arrested in Bar Parking Lot, by Tony Reed. Decatur. Police patrols looking to head off violence and disorder problems in Decatur before it has a chance to start made an arrest Saturday night and seized an illegally owned handgun. Sergeant Brandon Rolfs with the Decatur Police Department said officers in marked squad cars cruised into a bar parking lot on North 22nd Street around 10:30 p.m. and immediately noticed the driver of a red Jeep, who suddenly seemed anxious to leave. The driver tried to avoid contact with them and pulled out of the lot real quick. Ralph said, a patrol car turned around to follow and pulled the driver over after he committed a traffic infraction. And while officers were trying to pull the vehicle over, it crossed over the center line, and there were other indications suggesting the driver was possibly not being attentive while operating the vehicle, Ralph said. That is often a warning sign or clue that people are trying to drive at the same time they are engaged in other activities, such as concealing items. A police dog brought to the scene, alerted to the odor of narcotics and a search of the Jeep, turned up a loaded 9mm semi-automatic handgun inside a zip-up soft case tucked under the driver's seat. The bag also held another full ammunition clip. A check of the 36-year-old driver revealed his FOID card had been revoked for felony driving offenses and other convictions, and he was jailed on new preliminary charges of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon and being a felon in possession of a firearm. Rolfs said the police continue to work hard, keeping a careful eye on known trouble areas and seizing illegally owned weapons in a bid to short-circuit potential criminal activity. Especially on weekends, there have been so many shots fired and other violent incidents that happen in and around parking lots and bars and gas stations, Rolf added. These have become regular places where we check on and patrol when we have got units available to try and keep a lid on the violence in the town. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the Office of the State's Attorney. Turning to page 5, National and World News. The Digest. Europe continues fight against several fires. Bordeaux. Wildflowers advance toward the outskirts of the historic French city of Bordeaux on Sunday as France and Spain battled blazes that forced the evacuation of hundreds of thousands of people. In France, fire ravaged the Cape Ferret Peninsula on the Atlantic coast, a popular tourist destination, and spread through the areas surrounding Bordeaux, where firefighters tried to prevent the flames from reaching the regional capital. Mayor Thomas Cazenave said the fire was about 9 miles away from entry points to the main city. In Scotland, as many as 500 firefighters battled a large blaze in Cairngorms National Park. Since July 15th, residents of the village of Nethy Bridge returned to their homes late Saturday. In Italy, bushfires forced the closure of a southern section of the Rome Ring Road and motorway leading into the capital, causing traffic disruption. In the Puglia region, tourists were evacuated from seaside resorts due to a large wildfire in the Gargano area, the National Fire Department said. Electricity. The U.S. Energy Department issued an emergency order Sunday authorizing grid operator Southwest Power Pool, which serves part of 17 states in a territory that is home to 20 million people, to deploy idle power sources to help prevent heat wave blackouts. Honduras. Former Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez returned to Honduras on Sunday, 8 months after U.S. President Donald Trump pardoned him while he was serving a 45-year U.S. prison sentence for drug and arms trafficking. Romania. A Romanian F-16 fighter jet pilot shot down a Russian drone over the Black Sea, the Defense Ministry said Sunday, among breaches of the NATO members' airspace that President Nicurso Dan called inadmissible and intolerable. Gaza. Medics and police officers said an Israeli airstrike killed a senior officer of the Hamas-run Palestinian Internal Security Service and an associate Sunday in central Gaza. Exercises. The U.S. and Japan joined the Philippines in maritime exercises in the South China Sea, the Philippine military said, prompting China to organize a patrol by its naval and air forces on Sunday. Middle East. Pause extends a second day. Advisors voiced arms concerns, said U.S. was running out of targets. Reuters. Washington. Iran will halt its attacks as long as the United States does the same. A senior Iranian official told Reuters on Sunday. The development comes as the U.S. paused its bombing campaign after President Donald Trump's advisors told him they were running out of targets and expressed worries about depleting the U.S. arsenal. After 13 nights of intensifying U.S. airstrikes in Iran, the Pentagon suspended the campaign late Friday, with no U.S. attacks reported Saturday or Sunday. Iran, which followed each night of U.S. attacks with its own strikes on neighboring countries that host U.S. bases, also so far held fire for 2 days. The Iranian official, speaking on condition of anonymity, told Reuters that Tehran's position remains attack for attack. If the attacks stop, Iran will also halt its operation. That message has already been conveyed to the United States. The U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Mike Waltz, told Fox News Sunday and other U.S. media that Trump decided to pause U.S. attacks to allow more time for diplomacy. He's giving the talk some room. He's giving it a little bit of room, Waltz said, without providing further details. U.S. military officials in recent days cautioned that bombings over the past 2 weeks meant to deter Iranian threats to shipping in the Strait of Hormuz, a narrow waterway that became a key flashpoint in the war, largely exhausted the pre-selected sets of targets, one official said, on condition of anonymity. Iran says it aims to retain control of the strait, through which a fifth of global oil flows passed before the award. Resuming major combat operations remains an option, but General Dan Kane, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, cautioned privately to Trump that it would carry risk, given the negative effect of stocks on munitions, the officials said. That included interceptors used by U.S. air defenses in the Middle East. Kane's office and U.S. Central Command declined comment. Trump's decision to pause the strikes followed what several media outlets described as a meeting on Friday, where Kane and other senior military and political advisors raised concerns. CNN said Vice President J.D. Vance expressed reservations. Axios reported that the overall commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East, Admiral Brad Cooper, had advised halting the U.S. bombing campaign because it had reached the limits of its effectiveness. On NBC's Meet the Press, Waltz said the U.S. military has everything that it needs, but also said that when Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth took over under the Trump administration, he inherited a depleted situation. The senior Iranian source, who spoke on condition of anonymity, told Reuters that Tehran did not hold much hope that Trump's decision to pause strikes represented a major shift in the U.S. negotiating position. The prevailing view is that the pause is tactical rather than genuine. Turning to the sports section of the Decatur Herald and Review, Sunday's baseball results for local teams include the Chicago White Sox 12, Houston 3, and in the National League, Pittsburgh defeated the Cubs 8-7, and Cincinnati defeated the Cardinals 5-3 in 10 innings. The current standings for local teams include in the Central Division, where the Cubs, with a record of 59-46, are currently 7 games behind the Central leading Milwaukee Brewers. The Cardinals, at 53-52, are in 4th place, 13 games back of the Brewers. In the American League, the Chicago White Sox continue their surprising season with a won and loss record of 55-49 and lead the Central Division of the American League. No timeline for Judge return. Boone, injury will not impact team at trade deadline. USA Today. Aaron Boone had no notable updates on New York Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge in his media availability at Citizens Bank Park on Saturday. But what he did disclose to reporters was he doesn't believe the outlook on Judge's return from a stress fracture of the first rib on his right side will sway the Yankees' aggressiveness at the trade deadline one way or another. "I don't think so, because we all expect him back," Boone said. Judge has been sidelined since May 31st, and the slugger was transferred to the 60-day injured list on July 18th. Verlander's rehab going really slow. Detroit Tigers right-hander Justin Verlander announced his impending retirement on July 8th while expressing his intention to help his team compete down the stretch. Since then, there hasn't been much from the veteran, unless you count an All-Star game visit for which he dressed but did not play. Tigers manager A.J. Hinch addressed Verlander's injury status, saying that the 43-year-old's continued rehab from a hamstring strain has been really slow, but that the team is still committed to having Verlander pitch in 2026, despite having no firm timetable for his return. Around the league, Athletics. A's All-Star catcher Shane Langeliers could miss the rest of the season after tearing the meniscus in his right knee. Yankees. New York placed Cody Bellinger on the IL Sunday with a hamstring strain. Brewers. Milwaukee designated Lance McCullers Jr. for assignment Sunday. And Blue Jays. Max Scherzer will celebrate his 42nd birthday on Monday by returning to Toronto's rotation, and he will pitch against the Washington Nationals, his former team. Stat of the day for Sunday. 11. 24-year-old pitcher Jacob Mizorowski struck out 11 batters through the Brewers' first four innings against the Rockies on Sunday, becoming the youngest starter to do so over the last 50 seasons. Baseball games that will be shown on television tonight include the New York Yankees at the Chicago White Sox at 7:40 p.m., shown on the Chicago Sports Network. Shown on the Marquee Sports Network and on Cardinals.tv, the Chicago Cubs at the St. Louis Cardinals. Trade. President Donald Trump unveiled 50% tariffs on several imports from Canada in response to what his administration called discriminatory treatment of U.S.-made cars, alcohol, and dairy goods, threatening a new front in a global trade war. Sentenced. Vance Bolter, 58, received two consecutive life sentences plus 40 years in prison for killing Minnesota Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, and attempting to kill State Senator John Huffman and his wife Yvette on June 14, 2025. A plea deal allowed him to avoid the death penalty. Plane found. A search team, including Discovery Channel series Expedition Unknown, found the wreckage of the Pan American Airways Clipper Endeavor off Puerto Rico last month, Discovery said. The plane went down April 11, 1952, with 64 passengers and 5 crew members on board. Only 12 people were rescued. That crash led to aviation reform. Which supermarkets sell Taylor Farms lettuce? There are many. You can visit the company's Find a Product page and type in your location, and you'll see a who's who's of American supermarkets and big box retailers that carry Taylor Farms salad kits and other products. The list includes Walmart, Target, Safeway, Whole Foods, Meijer, Vons, Ford Food for Less, H-E-B, Sprouts, Fry's, Albertsons, Kroger, and Schnucks. There are also many chain restaurants that Taylor Farms sells their lettuce to, and that list, which is not conclusive, includes McDonald's, Subway, KFC, Long John Silver's, Pizza Hut, as well as Darden restaurants, whose brands include Olive Garden. Taylor Farms has had several previous recalls, including in 2025, recalling salad kits, in 2024, removal of quarter pounders from McDonald menus, in 2019, recalling 2,100 pounds of mislabeled product, in 2017, recalling pork and chicken salad products, and in 2013, when a report noted that Taylor Farms had an unusual number of voluntary recalls involving potentially tainted products. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the reading of the Decatur Herald and Review for Monday, July 27th, 2026. Please stay tuned.